Hey guys, thanks for tuning in. It is April 21st, that is Tuesday, 2 days before the NFL draft. If you guys have been following along online, we dropped an IED Sports prediction article, the whole first round, all 32 picks with me, Steve, and Ed. We're here to talk a little bit about that and some breaking news today. We also brought in Alex with the big opinions here. Thanks for joining us. This is IED Sports. Okay, so when I was writing this sheet out for the show today, I put the breaking news, the big breaking news of the day was going to be Lamar Jackson picked for the Madden cover. So many things we could talk about there. We all know the Madden curse. Does it exist? Does it not exist? I'm a huge video game guy. I love Madden, and that curse is a real thing. It looks like it was kind of broken this year, I guess, but we'll see. It's either the year of or the year after something bad happens, these players go down. It is Lamar Jackson to all of Baltimore's dismay. Really cool. I saw a couple of fake renderings for some cover artwork. Any thoughts on that, just to throw it out there first?
I mean, Antonio Brown also broke the Madden curse, didn't he? Made the Madden cover that and going crazy.
Yeah, so I think we're going to call that close enough. I don't know. But either way, that's not our big story. That was the big story. The big story right now is talks of Gronk, Rob Gronkowski, getting traded from the Patriots to Tampa Bay. Tom Brady to join his old quarterback, Tom Brady. He says he wants back in the NFL. Now, me and Alex just watched him on WWE a few nights ago during the WrestleMania event, my first time watching wrestling in about 15 years. Does he look in football shape to you, Alex?
Looks thin. It looks thin.
Oh, yeah. I mean, to me, I know he's been partying. He's been, you know, I know he's promoting a bunch of products. I know he's a good businessman. But to me, there's regular shape and football shape. I would say he's not in football shape. Even if it's a little lighter, that means he gets hit a lot. I mean, you remember, he takes a pounding. He's going to have to put on a little weight or he's going to be injured again, in my opinion.
Absolutely. That's with me. He looked like a shell of a man. He was a huge, huge dude. Maybe it's just because we're seeing him without pads on for some of the first times, but he definitely dropped half a Benjamin. I mean, Ed, I see. Yeah. Ed, what do you think is going on here? Is this a one-year thing? Is this a stunt? What's going on?
If he comes back, he's going to play as long as Brady plays. But I agree with what you guys said. He's half the man that he was. I think he was cutting weight, getting himself down. He was preparing to be an actor. He wanted to do television, reality TV, movies, everything like that. He knows the camera adds weight, sucks himself down to whatever weight he's at now. So it's going to be very interesting to see how this plays out.
Absolutely. Steve?
I mean, I'm looking at a picture of him right now from WWE. I mean, he's still looking pretty cut. I mean, you know, if he put on muscle to be in the WWE, he might be able to get back. He should be able to get himself back into football shape. So I say, the year that he retired, he was definitely having a down year, and he was losing some of his explosive capabilities. But I say give it a chance. Maybe a year away from football would have helped him a little bit. I mean, Marshawn Lynch played 2 years after taking a year off, so I think we should give Gronk that same chance.
I will believe it when I see it. One of the interesting things here is that Tampa Bay doesn't really need any tight ends. I'm looking at their salary chart here. They're paying Cameron Brate $40.8 million over the next 6 years, O.J. Howard $11 million over the next 4. That may be out of date information, but that's what I'm seeing here now. How does this fit in? Who's gone? Who's the odd man out? Is it Cameron Brate in a salary?
OJ Howard's gone. They've been trying to deal him for at least the past couple weeks. He's been on the market. It's known. He had a great career at Alabama, just hasn't transitioned to the NFL, but he's out there for the taking. He won't be part of the team if Gronk is there.
Steve's our dynasty guy. Cameron, OJ Howard. What's the outlook there?
Well, I'm looking at his 2020 cap number. His cap charge is going to be $3.5 million, so that's manageable. And this is only his third season in the NFL, so I say I say if the Tampa Bay Buccaneers can get good trade value for him or Cameron Brate, I would make sure to trade him because O.J. Howard has flash, and so is Cameron Brate. So they're both two talented tight ends.
Cameron Brate makes too much money. No one's going to trade for him with that salary. There's no way. The tight end, you're going to pay that. It's not a Pro Bowl tight end. You're not going to pay $7 million a year for Cameron Brate. I think you can get O.J. Howard now on the cheap. You're not going to get a first or second round pick for him because everyone knows they're trying to trade one of them. And I would take a shot on O.J. Howard, especially if this guy was making $3 million a year. Someone's going to take a shot on a guy. I guarantee he's going to get traded. If not day one during the draft, by day two, I think O.J. Howard's definitely going to go up Gronkowski. He's definitely going to Tampa Bay.
Cameron Brate is making – his 2020 cap number is $4.25 million.
I stand corrected. I thought it was $8 million. But still – I mean, they're going to go, O.J. Howard's going to be is more of a name. I think O.J. Howard's the guy that's going to go, just like Ed said, we've heard his name in the trade circles now for weeks now. Someone's going to bite. He had a big career at Alabama, a huge upside. I think having worked out in Tampa Bay, maybe somewhere else they will. There's teams that need tight ends. The guy can run. Someone's going to take a shot on this guy.
He's going to have to stay out of the med tent if he's going to make any splash on any team in 2021, but something to look forward to heading into the draft. I think we took a couple of names, some questions, and I guess we could kind of skip ahead if you want to talk about some of those guys, free agents that are still available. We could assume it's going to be O.J. Howard. We can add to this list. The other two guys that I named, or really the three guys I named, Cam Newton, Jadeveon Clowney, Jameis Winston. Let's throw over to Ed. Who do you want to talk about first? Do you have anything to lay down for us?
I'll talk about Jameis Winston. I mean, Jameis Winston, he got his eyes fixed. So if he starts throwing to the guys in the bright colored uniforms, he's a good quarterback. He throws touchdowns. He's proven that he can lead a team to victory. And if New England or Jacksonville doesn't come out of the first round with one of those young quarterbacks, they're both going to take a real long look at Jameis Winston. Jacksonville may be a better fit for him, but even if he goes to New England, Belichick, the offensive coordinator there, missing his name all of a sudden, those guys, they can work with him, and he's going to be more than a serviceable quarterback somewhere.
Absolutely. I kind of agree. I think Josh McDaniels is the guy we were looking for over in New England.
There it is. Yeah.
Offensive
Thank you,
coordinator. Josh McDaniels. I don't see that as a fit. I don't see it as a personality fit. I don't know how Jameis, you know, we know he has had character issues in his past. Hopefully he's beyond some of that stuff. I have no idea. I think it's safe to say when we look at Jameis Winston and our next Cam Newton, there are two guys that are not going to want to play as backups. So I think we're not going to see any of those movements until after the draft. There's like no surprises coming in the next 2 days on those fronts. Cam Newton, rumors. He wants a starting job and is going to wait until after the draft. Possible fits that I picked out were Chargers. Chargers are insisting Tyrod Taylor is their man. They have the 37th pick, and I put if Pats skip on a quarterback, that could mean Jordan Love is on the board. A lot of these quarterbacks, I see, like, we know these teams want their guy, but they're with even amongst the mock draft that we did, there's so many guys falling into place in weird spots. There were guys who were, you know, the top running back off the board could fall to the, you know, end of the first round. There's so much movement there. Cam Newton, is he going to land on a team, Steve?
Yes. What team is he going to land on? I have no idea. Because it all is going to come down to the draft, and we won't really know what's going to be happening in the draft until Thursday, because the teams that need a starting quarterback are few and far between, and realistically, we all know what's going to happen. Cam Newton's going to be signed to a team that has an established backup. I mean, that has an established starting quarterback, but might struggle a little bit. Let's say the Cleveland Browns or something. I'm just throwing them out there because Baker has struggled a little bit. And then if the starter struggles, then Cam Newton's going to come in. That's typically what happened. Look at what happened with Mariota and Tannehill last year. Something very similar to that situation is going to happen.
I could also, you know, pick teams with aging quarterbacks. Not to pick on Steve here, but you're wearing the colors right there. Steelers, I could see Cam Newton wearing black and yellow in the very near future. Alex, any thoughts, Cam Newton, Jameis Winston?
I still think Cam Newton and the Chargers is the best fit. I don't like Tyrod Taylor, and a lot of guys do. I don't see the Chargers going with Tyrod Taylor as their starting quarterback. Cam Newton, to me, makes most sense there. To go back to what Ed was talking about, I don't see the Patriots taking a shot at Jameis Winston because of the character issues, the crab legs, the Uber. To me, he's not the smartest guy. When you look at him, when the way he talks, I don't see the Patriots. You know, I know he threw for 5,000 yards, but 30 touchdowns, and all he got is eye sticks. I don't see the Patriots rolling the dice with Jameis Winston. Cam Newton, possibly, but not Jameis Winston. To me, Jameis Winston's going to have to sit down and wait until either a training camp injury or someone that's going to roll. Someone's going to see something that him to compete as either a backup or a shot at a starting quarterback, and Jameis Winston doesn't want to hear that. He might have to start off as a backup somewhere. But to me, again, Chargers, Cam Newton, to me, makes the most sense. And now, if they go trade up and pick up Tua or pick up the Oregon kid, this changes. But if they don't get either one, I think Cam Newton's going to go to Detroit.
Quick question for everyone. We're talking about Jameis Winston and New England, and everybody's kind of under consensus that he won't fit in, character issues, everything. I believe the coaches have to take care of him. I'm just thinking back. Let's talk about Randy Moss.
He's not a quarterback.
Yeah, quarterback, but Randy Moss was it, and he went there and he thrived in New England.
Josh Gordon, Antonio Brown, I understand, but they're not quarterback. The quarterback, the most important position on the team. I do not put his name behind Jameis Winston and turning him around into being an all-world quarterback. I don't see it happening. I really don't.
Now, and not just that, but Josh McDaniels, who is rumored to be Bill Belichick's successor, you know, he wouldn't want his name to be behind Jameis Winston if Jameis Winston fails in New England. I think that they would be much better off if they don't get pick a quarterback. I think that Cam Newton would probably be their best bet.
Okay, so I'm going to cut you guys off right there because we're going to go in reverse order. This was supposed to be the first topic we talked about, which is what the heck is going on in New England? They lost their franchise quarterback. Tom Brady is now in Tampa Bay, and we have a kind of a power vacuum going on in New England. Everyone knows what I've been saying because I've been saying it all year long. I think Stidham is the guy. They picked him last year. They've been grooming him in that spot. He held the clipboard for one of the greatest of all time. I think that they knew what was going to go on this offseason. The Patriots, the Kraft, they had a plan, and this was the plan. Tom Brady was not going to be on the team much longer. Stidham, I hear so much really, really good stuff. They went out and got a veteran quarterback in Hoyer, who's not going to compete for the job, but he's going to hold the clipboard and be kind of the veteran presence there in his second year. Stidham will be the guy. He will be the starter for New England. I've been saying it all offseason. I can't pull out now, no matter how great it looks on draft day. I have to go with what I've been saying. Stidham is the guy. Steve, I see you laughing, even though the mic is in front of your face. You're up next.
I don't see that. I think that they are honestly going to draft a quarterback, and I think that it's going to be in Thursday night's draft. I think they're going to take Jordan Love. Because after that, there's a fall up at the quarterback position. You know, look at Stidham's brief performance against the Jets last year. When Stidham threw a pick six, they didn't have him stay in there. They just threw Tom Brady back out there. That right there tells me how little faith they had in him back then. And when you get in Bill Belichick's doghouse, it's hard to get out of it. So,
but you know how you get out of it? By him losing his best friend. Like, he needs a new best friend. It's like when you get in fights in the schoolyard and now you have to be friends with the guy who you're like, you're not really good friends with. Like, Stidham says, boy, now, you know, it's Hoyer. I think we could say Hoyer is not the answer. Is that fair to say, Alex?
No, I don't agree with you. I think Brian Hoyer has a better shot of starting than Jason, the Auburn kid. I really do. Again, Belichick is not going to go into this year starting an unproven quarterback instead of a veteran. Week one, week two, now week four, week five. If New England starts losing, I can see the change. At the beginning of the year, I think it's going to be Brian Hoyer on day one, unless some kind of crazy trade. Look, the Patriots always pull out stuff you don't see coming.
That's true.
I really don't think they can be quiet. Like all of a sudden, oh, Jordan Love picks 30, whatever it is, and they're going to groom him to take over, or the kid I like, Jacob Eason from Washington, or something like that. I don't see it happening, and I don't see the Auburn kid starting week one. I think it's going to be Brian Hoyer to see how they go going forward. And now, if it doesn't work out, You got the Auburn kid to take over week three, week five, whatever it is, on the record. That's how I look at it.
Alex called Stidham the Auburn kid three times after calling Hebert the Oregon kid once. I don't know if he's trying to brag about how much he knows about college football or just laying disrespect on these guys today. Sorry, Steve. Let's go back to you on that one.
Well, Well, I was just going to say that there's one. We all have to admit there's one big difference from this year than all the other years. Belichick doesn't have Brady to bail him out. Last year was one of the prime examples of if you don't surround Brady with some talent, he's not going to bail you out. The defense was able to bail out Tom Brady for much of the year, but then as the year wore on, you saw that really good defense that fantasy-wise was doing a lot better than half the players in the NFL fantasy-wise start to tail off. So, and they really got, and they really tailed off even after they got a first-round bye in the, I mean, not a first-round bye, when it came to the wild card round. So, you know, and unlike the other years where Belichick was able to take these risks with his defense, he doesn't have Tom Brady to bail him out. Look at the second Super Bowl performance the Patriots had against the Giants. The Patriots went into the Super Bowl with the 32nd ranked defense, but they had the number one ranked offense, and that was because Tom Brady was able to cover up the ineptitude of a Bill Belichick defense for that year. So, you know, we see a difference. You know, I think this was what, 2011? I'm going to say 2011, 2012, where Brady, with one of the best offenses, took the team to the Super Bowl. But then this past year, with Brady in a little bit of a decline and with the best defense, they couldn't even get out of the wild card round.
In all fairness, that defense peaked way too early. That defense peaked week one in 2019.
Don't remind me.
Let's talk, and we're going to throw this over to Ed in just a little bit. Let's talk about the guy from the kid from Utah State, if we will, Jordan Love. When you look at his stats from last year, 3,402 yards, that's impressive. 20 touchdowns, 17 interceptions. Accuracy on a Patriots team. We're going to compare that to Stidham's senior year in college, where he threw 18 touchdowns and 5 interceptions over 2,800 yards. We're talking usage is heavier for Love, but accuracy all through his career. Never threw more than 6 interceptions in college for Stidham. I know you like Love. That's your guy going to New England. Defend yourself.
New England, the way I look at it is this way. If you love New England, you love them. If you hate them, you hate them. And one of the reasons that you hate them is because they always get what they want. They want a quarterback. Brady left. Herbert from Oregon. They may make a move to go up. Everything's changed so much since we had our first discussion. We did our mock with our first 10 picks. I've seen drafts where he falls all the way down to 23 now. I definitely don't see that happen. But I really believe Jordan Love is going to be staring at them at 23. They're going to scoop him up. And everything you're reading about Jordan Love now, he's a poor man's Mahomes. He has the potential to be a Patrick Mahomes type. I don't believe it, but I think New England is going to definitely take a chance on him. And he'll end up, I don't want to put myself out there and say he'll start this year, but I think he'll end up starting sometime this year for the Patriots. And then everybody's going to go back on when they make the playoffs again. And how does the Patriots always do it? It's stuff like this. You got 4 quarterbacks that are, you know, head and shoulders above everybody else in the draft, and New England's going to end up with one of them at 23.
All right. For the record, when we wrote our article that we released earlier, spoiler alert, New England, both Steve and Ed picked Jordan Love. I picked Daniel Mims, the 6'3 end zone target from Baylor, to kind of play along N'Keal Harry as one of the future wide receivers that they desperately looked for last year. Alex, if you had to be the tiebreaker, are they going quarterback at 23?
I'm not as big of a fan of Jordan Love as they say out there. I'm just reading this thing today. NFC executive says there's so much bad tape on Jordan Love, I'd be afraid to draft him. It's right here on CBS.com. He played in a Mountain West Conference with Utah State, not exactly the SEC. I watched a couple games of him last year. I know he's athletic. His arm looks good. Again, decision-making is a question with this guy. He threw a lot of interceptions last year. I know he probably doesn't have NFL talent as a wide receiver. I would be very weary of drafting him. Again, Patriots taking a gamble on a Jordan Love, to me, I don't know. I don't think so. I really don't.
It's not a short gamble.
I don't think they're going to gamble on this guy.
You got to look on the tape of this kid from 2 years ago. 2 years ago when he was established with the coach and the receiver cores that he's worked with, That was his career year 2 years ago. End of that season, his head coach left, offense coordinator left, his top receivers left. Now, that doesn't bode well. You go into the NFL, you're getting a new coach, you're getting new receivers, but it's going to be an upgrade for what he worked with this year. He's going to be good, Alex. I got to disagree with you. He's going
to
be good.
I see some mock drafts him dropping to the late second round, even a third round for some mock drafts. I mean, again, it's a gamble. Will the Patriots gamble in the first round on this guy? I don't know.
Well, it's always a gamble, in fairness. I mean, this whole game, this whole week is about taking those gambles. And when you talk about gambles, we got to talk about possible trades, which is kind of the last topic we have set for you today. The first one I wanted to start with is the Jaguars, because they are the team that the most speculation is swirling around. They've made it known that they want to trade. Everyone's for sale on that defense. There were rumors that they were going to send Yannick Ngakoue. I know about this because I'm a Giants fan. You guys see me with my Giants jersey, my Giants hat on. To move up to that 4 pick, they were going to trade Yannick Ngakoue to the Giants. Giants are in desperate need of an edge rusher, and they would love to have an edge rusher and an offensive tackle both come out of their dealings in the first round of the 2020 NFL draft. So that rumor was out there. Now rumors start this week that they are shopping their, I guess you can say, franchise in hand quotes, running back Leonard Fournette, the oft-injured, pretty explosive. I think he's a pretty good back, but maybe not that top elite tier. What can they get for him realistically? And do you guys have any at all, spitballing where Leonard Fournette might be?
Well, I just want to address Yannick Ngakoue first, because any team that gets Yannick Ngakoue, they're getting an under 30 edge rusher that not only will get to the quarterback, but he also creates turnovers. He creates a lot of turnovers, whether from the running back or hitting the quarterback and jarring the ball loose. And I think he's only 25 or 26 years old, so he's not even in the prime of his career yet. But addressing Leonard Fournette, I heard rumors that the Chiefs would be a possible fit for him, but I don't know.
How about the Steelers? Couldn't you guys use a running back?
Oh, geez. They don't want Leonard Fournette. We have enough problems trying to figure out what's going on with James Conner.
That's my point. You could use a running back, and I mean, Leonard Fournette. Look, we talked about last week's show. Whole world in college, LSU, Ed'll tell you all you need to know about how great he was. They were comparing this guy to be the next great guy. Now I'm hearing he's falling asleep in team meetings. As soon as he starts talking, we want Cam Newton. We heard they were gonna trade him immediately. So I think he's better than he is. And Jacksonville doesn't seem as good as he thinks he is, and that's why I think he's going.
There is a team that needs a running back desperately that has 3 first-round picks. Not that Fournette is going to demand one of those, but Miami Dolphins, for me, are always one of those teams that sticks out.
But they have Jordan Howard now.
Yeah, but Jordan Howard can't catch.
Jordan Howard, to me, is all every down back.
I don't think Jordan Howard's an every down back.
Jordan Howard and Kalen Ballage give me zero confidence.
In my opinion, I don't think Jordan Howard ever got a real fair shot. The Bears misused him. He wasn't a fit for the Eagles system. I think he might be able to find some success in Miami. I mean, I know that I think I had DeAndre Swift going to Miami with their 3rd pick in the first round.
Both of us had DeAndre Swift, yeah. With the 26th pick.
Yeah, so it's possible that that they could send one of those first round picks to for Leonard Fournette, but
it won't be a first round pick.
We're not getting a first rounder for Fournette in his last year of a 5-year deal. There's no way someone's going to waste a first round pick and then he could walk in free agency.
We're talking third round, but with a team with as many holes like Miami, I mean, who knows? We were just kind of speculating roughly here. Jaguars will be making trades on draft day. I think that we can say with absolute clarity. Okay, next up, the Broncos, possible trade candidate. According to Woody Page of the Colorado Springs Gazette, the Broncos are looking to trade up. They want Jerry Jeudy, and they want to move up to 8 or 10 picks currently held by the Arizona Cardinals and the Cleveland Browns. I think, Ed, you had something to say on this, right?
This is the interesting part that's going to make Thursday so interesting is now all the rumors that are going on now. So Yes. I think it's pretty well known that the Broncos want to move up. They want one of the top two. They want Judy or they want Lamb. But yesterday, Elway came out and says, I don't think we're going to have as many trades. Trades are going to be a little less this year because everything's going to be done virtually. So he doesn't think trades are going to happen. Followed by Murray at Arizona telling everybody that he's talking to the staff saying, we need C.D. Lamb. We need Lamb. So he's playing the game for Arizona trying to, you know, spark a little interest, get Denver a little nervous, might have to cough up more to get to Arizona's pick because now they might think that. Denver, they could get a receiver where they're at. I don't know if they're going to get one of the top two guys, but they could get there. But I think everything that we hear today, tomorrow, leading up to Thursday, you got to take it with a grain of salt because everybody's trying to throw misinformation out there to everybody else. And you know, who knows what's really going to happen. What are your guys' opinion on that? Arizona taking another wide receiver, where's he going to play?
Well...
And I don't know if they're going to waste the first round pick after they just traded for Hopkins. I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah. So I mean, why would they even let him say that? I don't get it.
And the Cardinals have a plethora of receivers to begin with.
Quarterback always wants weapons. He always going to want a wide receiver, running back, or an offensive line.
That's where we went.
Fire a quarterback, never.
In our article, we went to Alabama, and we all three of us took Jedrick Willis with that number 8 pick from Arizona. I think that that is the most likely scenario. And it's worth pointing out that in what we have in our mock draft, Broncos, they got CeeDee Lamb without trading up. He was still one of those elite wide receivers was still on the board there, so maybe it might not be their guy. But CeeDee Lamb is a good consolation prize if you miss out on your top guy, is I guess what I'm trying to say there. Any last thoughts on the Broncos before we move on to the Bengals?
A wide receiver heavy draft, so if they don't get the one or two, I think they can wait and get somebody even the second round, a possible starter. Everyone's saying this is a wide receiver heavy draft. A lot of teams are linked with wide receivers, may skip the first round and try to grab one in the second, even the third round. So, I mean, John Elway, with him, you never know which way he's going to draft. He's got a spotty record from taking quarterbacks to you don't know what he's going to do. Again, with John Elway, he's a tough guy to predict. If you think he's going to get a wide receiver, he could draft a defensive lineman. So you don't know which way they're going to go with John Elway.
But I'll say this much: if they get Jerry Jeudy or CeeDee Lamb, and pair him with Courtland Sutton, that's going to be a dangerous wide receiver tandem right there. Two young, explosive wide receivers under the age of 25. That will be dangerous.
Absolutely, for sure. Now, Steve, while you're talking, I know you are the Andy Dalton apologist. That he is going to be gone from this team and has no value, but you apparently have some other thoughts on that. So why don't you start us out with the Broncos, the Bengals and possible trades for all these teams who are going to be coming out of the woodwork trying to court Andy Dalton. I was going to say Carson Palmer there for a second.
There's only one team in my mind that makes sense for Andy Dalton to go to, and that's the Jacksonville Jaguars, because Jay Gruden is the offensive coordinator there, and he was the one who pushed for the Bengals to draft Andy Dalton over Colin Kaepernick. So there's already a connection there, and there were rumors a few years back that Jay Gruden was trying to get Andy Dalton into Washington. So there is a connection there, and if I'm the Jacksonville Jaguars, I'm sending a second round and a fifth round pick to the Bengals, and in exchange for Andy Dalton and a third round pick, and then you're set at quarterback he could whether be a good bridge quarterback to get you to your next quarterback, or he could flourish there and have a resurgence in his career. Either way, Andy Dalton's not going to be on the Bengals for training camp, even though that is also something that the Bengals have a history of doing too, you know, with John Kitna and Carson Palmer. So, you know, I just honestly don't believe that Andy Dalton's going to be on the Bengals roster for training camp.
I think we're all kind of on the same page as far as that goes. I can't imagine
the
team.
I'm not a fan at all of Andy Dalton at all. I wouldn't trade for him at all. He signed, what, he had a $115 million contract 6 years he got in, like, 2014? Who's going to pay that salary?
Yeah, exactly.
So that's why no one's going to trade for him. Who's going to want that kind of salary on the team? He's not even, he might not even be the number one quarterback.
But you know, like I said, there's the connection there with Jay Gruden.
So he's going to make it, what, $20 million next year? Something like this? That's insane. That's insane. You know, Kirk Cousins should be making the money he's making. That's insane. But this is Andy Dalton we're talking about. The same guy in Cincinnati we're talking about, right? There's no way someone's going to pay $20-something million for him.
No, I understand what you're saying. It's just that we talk about connections in the NFL, and we just have to, you know, everybody gets their job through all these other means.
That's what I mean. With Andy Dalton, you gotta go away. Like,
the other means, like being in a box talking about football instead of trying to throw one out.
At least if it takes a cap, someone will sign him, but they're not going to pay him the salary he's making now. There's no chance. No way.
Maybe the restructure. We'll see. Okay, guys. Anyway, we have our article up. Check it out. We spent a lot of time, a lot of thought went into that. We put not only the player, but a little blurb underneath each one, why we think they're going there. We didn't get too heavy into the trades. We just kind of picked based on team need. You guys know I'm not the college football guy. I'm the NFL team needs guy. So I was doing my work trying to get something. But we have a really quality article. Check it out on idsports.com. This Thursday, 7:45, 15 minutes before the draft, we're live streaming. We always have a draft party. Can't have one this year in the flesh, so we're going to youtube.com/IDSports. We're going to be streaming the event. Get in the message boards. Talk to us. We're going to be sitting here the whole time. We're going to be watching live, reacting live. You'll probably even hear the audio is going to be like playing over my mic at some points. Hopefully we won't get in any NFL trouble with that.
And I want to apologize now. When the Vikings fail and miss on their first-round pick, when I start dropping F-bombs, I just want to apologize right now when I go wild.
Do you have a mute button? Let me just see. Hold on.
It's going to happen almost every year.
I think I can mute me.
I just want to apologize now when I drop an F-bomb when we draft some more.
Well,
oh, I muted him, but I can't unmute him. Hold on. How do I unmute him? Well, Alex, you're done for the day, so I can't figure out how to unmute you. I'll be working on that in just a minute. Steve, any last words?
No, I mean, I got 5 picks right last year, so I'm just hoping that I can go up just a little bit from last year and get a couple more right, and we'll see how that's and we'll see how that goes.
Finish up with Ed.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be very interesting. I think, based off of our first show that we did, where we just did the top 10, I think there's already going to be some changes in there. A lot of stuff I'm getting today that the Redskins are now starting to take some serious listens to teams wanting to move up to number 2. So I was comfortable that all 3 of us and everybody there would be able to relax and enjoy the draft until pick 4. But I still think the Redskins are going to stick right at 2 and take Chase Young. But I think the fireworks are going to start. Pick 3, we're going to have some action, which means everybody should come join us for sure on Thursday night, because it's going to be a good time.
And you guys know we're going to have the chat open in a separate sidebar. We're not going to be posting it on live, but you'll be able to see it on YouTube. And we're talking. We're trying to react with you, to talk with you, bring up the points, bring up the stats, tell us what you think about the picks. We're reacting in live time. We want this to be like as much of a live party as we can, even though we don't have the platform really. And, you know, last year I think we were at Pub 46 over in Clifton to do this, which was a lot of fun. Alex, I don't think I can unmute you. I don't know what happened. I pressed the button. I can't undo it. So you just wave, and we'll say, I don't know if he believes
he's
me.
He's already on his delay for his future F-bombs for when the Vikings pick.
I don't know if he believes me that he's muted or not. But, guys, you're watching ID Sports. Come join us Thursday. Have a great day, guys. Thanks for joining us.
See you Thursday.